Hello, everyone. Welcome back to .NET Conf. We've got a really fun presentation for you here today. We're going to talk about responsive UI with the cross-platform UI framework in Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, a little bit more Xamarin Forms. We love our Xamarin Forms, so a lot of good stuff with it today already.
Absolutely.
And we're going to keep going.
Yeah, and so just in case you're just joining us for the session, we should probably introduce ourselves.
Sounds like a good idea. I'm Jason DeBoever. I'm an instructor at Xamarin University. So Xamarin University is where we basically do this all the time. We teach you guys how to be better Xamarin developers, whether it be Xamarin Native or Xamarin Forms. We teach you all about Azure, all about unit testing, basically just making you better developers. And we do that in live classes. That's what I do every day, is work with people like you and live classes where we get to interact. So it's a little bit less of the me talking at you, like I'm doing right now, and a little bit more interaction. We also have a lot of great free content, and that's all made possible by the amazing people on the curriculum team at Xamarin University.
Thank you. Yes, and I get to work with those people. So we're behind the scenes. I'm on the curriculum team, and so my team, we offer that content. We write the courses that the fabulous trainers get to present. And again, that's all part of XAMU. It's the place to go for cross-platform, C#.NET, mobile development.
If you want to learn mobile, if you want to learn Azure, we are the place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So head on over there. There's tons of free content. You want to learn more about stuff like this, like Xamarin Forms, native UI with Xamarin, sets you to Azure, all kinds of fun stuff. And again, a lot of instructor-led classes as well.
And I love talking with you guys, so it's so great that we get to actually have class sizes. So we have 20 to 40 people. It's not this one-way experience. We have a few people, a few dozen people that get to interact with each other, with me. We get to figure things out together. Really fun experience. So come join me and my fellow instructors.
Love it. All right, so let's jump into our session today.
Let's do.
And this is all about responsive design. And so we're going to see several solutions to having our UI respond to different screen sizes, different screen situations, different paradigms.
Right,
yeah. Great. And this, I mean, I almost think this is becoming more and more important with Xamarin. It's always been important, but it's getting extra important.
It's pretty much vital right now, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have always had a little bit of different screen sizes with you know, different size phones like 6 pluses or with the giant Androids.
Right. But now we see the iPhone X. We've got another screen size like just from iOS.
Yeah, and we, of course, have tablets and always have. Mm-hmm. But now Xamarin Forms is genuinely a desktop platform. It's actually running not just occasionally on, say, UWP, but we can also now handle Mac and Linux. So it's every desktop platform is now available to every major desktop platform is now available to you as a Xamarin Forms developer. You can deploy your Xamarin Forms app to all those desktops as well as all of those mobile devices.
Right, and that is exactly, you said, is really exciting. We've got a lot of platforms, and it does mean a lot of hardware variations. And again, this is only just a sampling of it, right? We're talking about, you know, mobile devices, tablets, computers, all the wonderful things supported by UWP, you know, HoloLens, gaming. So, I mean, we've got C#.NET and now Xamarin Forms on a lot of different form factors.
Right. You want things to look good on HoloLens and you want them to look good on an iPhone X. May sound incredibly hard. It's actually not. It turns out that it's not all that bad. In a lot of cases, it's almost free. In other cases, there's techniques to handle it, and we're going to show those to you.
Absolutely. So we're going to kind of constrain the problem here a little bit, and I want to think of it in three different ways. So I think the most common, or probably the most obvious one might be, is screen size.
Absolutely.
Scaling from small phones all the way up to, say, 4K TVs, right? Obviously a bigger screen, and we've got some things to consider with that. Now, some devices, you know, the screen real estate changes at runtime. So there is the obvious example of taking a phone, changing it to landscape.
Exactly, and that may be something that helps us realize that these are different problems, screen size versus orientation, because when we talk about screen size, usually we're talking about maybe detecting that one time, detecting that when you load up. But we also do need to handle runtime changes, runtime situations, and that's what we're talking about there. And then finally, he's got idiom here, and idiom goes really beyond just how does it look, because we need to start thinking about things like whether a finger can click it or whether it's too small because it was made for a mouse, or whether it's just too big because I have to scroll a mouse all the way around some large screen when really a small button would have done. So we want to attack the problem that we have on each platform.
Right, and it's input methods, input techniques, and it's also how the users are using the devices. Are they carrying it with one hand? Are they sitting at a desk?
Exactly. These things change and these concerns change depending on the device.
Perfect. Well, let's hit them one at a time. Let's start with screen size.
Start with screen size.
And so let's jump right into it. And so when we think about scaling, we really kind of think of two different things, right? There's really a couple of options of how we would deal with, say, additional screen real estate.
Right. So with your text right there, you're not going to say, oh, let me just make the font size a lot larger because, well, I've got a much larger screen. That would be kind of silly. We're all pretty sure we know what we want to have happen if there's a larger screen with text. Let's see more of it and have less scrolling.
Right, and I think this is a good example here. We're, say, going from a phone to a tablet. You've got the larger screen. Let me
read more, not just get bigger font. That's silly.
Now, how about if I had, like, a photo viewing application or maybe a movie, something with videos?
Right.
Different story, right?
Exactly. Now, I'm probably showing the entire photo already on my smaller device, but it would be nice to scale it up. If I have a movie, I'm not going to, say, crop it just because I go to a smaller device. I'm not going to clip the edges. That would be ridiculous as well. So obviously, these different types of content have different choices. And, you know, the choices probably seem obvious to us as humans, but they're things we need to make sure are handled well when we develop these applications.
Well said. And so there's some great news here in that Xamarin Forms, a lot of the controls are designed to be responsive. So here we might be using a label to display our text, and labels designed to be responsive both to the amount of screen space available, depending on the layout container, but also to its content. It's responsive to content. It will grow, it will try and take up more space, and it'll do line wrapping. So again, adding more content. Great behavior out of the box.
Does what it should do.
Yeah. Right. Images can be set up to also grow with the amount of space they have. We can lock aspect ratios, set up clipping rules. And so we get a well-formed image scaling.
Fantastic.
Now, there might be situations, though, where we want to override this a bit. So even with the text, we might go more text, but maybe we want to nudge the font size up a little bit.
We might just, yeah.
Or maybe we don't want a giant image dominating our screen. And so with that, well, we can take more control. And so on our page class, we have a size change event. And this does, well, probably what you expect it to. It gets raised when the size of your screen or the size of your page changes. And you can see here, we've got a simple example. So might say, let's constrain or lock in the width of a control. And again, we can do more complicated scenarios here as well. But what's really powerful is notice at the bottom the width property. So our content page has a width and height property that we can read. And we can use that to
see how big the screen is and start making decisions.
All right, make runtime decisions. And again, for things, we've got screens that might actually be dynamically changing, we're on a desktop environment, this could be really powerful.
And then we're changing our image size based on that. Here, the width request is changing based on that width of the screen. So we're trying at least to say, hey, Xamarin Forms Layout Engine, I request to be this new width, right?
Now, we talked about label, we talked about image, but there's other controls that are responsive, and really the layout containers are designed to be responsive as well.
Yeah, and this is actually one of the things that I'm most excited about, is that the layout containers themselves actually kind of help to guide the other controls into being responsive. So we're going to actually jump into a demo that's really simple and yet allows us to see some of these responsive behaviors at work. And in a way where, honestly, we didn't even kind of try. We laid things out the way we lay them out for these simple applications, and they just are responsive. They just do what they should do.
Right, and I think it's really, it comes down to making good design decisions about how you use the available elements, WA.
Quite frankly, part of it comes down to the Xamarin Forms team made good design decisions for us.
Well, absolutely.
So I've got this tip calculator app, and what we can see is right now I have something that's kind of like a landscape mode right here. And now this is UWP, so I actually have continuously variable application sizes, a little lower resolution than I'm used to, so we're going to play with this a little bit. And so we can see that this is kind of like a phone in landscape mode right now, and
a good analogy there, absolutely.
On a small phone in landscape mode, things might even be scrunched together even more. One thing I want to point out is when I'm scrunching things together here, do you notice how the white space here is what's collapsing? I know that might not seem so impressive, but it's what we want, right? It's what we want to have happen to make this look good. It's obvious to us as humans that it looks best with these buttons, these controls down here.
Well, again, and of course, you could make other design decisions, but this is a very pleasing design, and it's a nice use of the space available.
Exactly. And notice how my slider changes size with the whole screen so that it's adapting to the size available. And this, it turns out, is actually an incredibly easy design right here.
So I assume you're using the side chain event and you're manually pushing all the controls every time the screen is changed?
Nothing of the sort. All we've got is our controls laid into a stack layout. A single stack layout drives most of this. Now, there's a horizontal stack layout that also has bill and entry next to it, but that actually doesn't even come into play. My single vertical stack layout that's on top that loads this into my first row and this into my second and then total into my third. Now, the interesting thing comes here. This entire area is my fourth row. Now, let me just give you a little refresher on a stack layout. So a stack layout basically is a container for other controls that says, all right, I'm going to, when I add children, start with one, the first one on top, and the next one will go below it, and the next one will go below it, and the next one will go below it. And we do see that happening here. But it's a little richer than you might just assume.
I would expect, you know, the tip percentage label, for example, to be right up below
just
the total.
Just like all scrunched up at the top, right? And why doesn't the enter amount fill up the entire width then if the slider does?
Yeah, exactly.
We're able to control that stuff, and we're able to make it look good and responsive kind of all at one time. And so the first thing I'm going to focus on is this area of screen right here. So again, this whole part is our fourth row. This one knows to be larger. It knows that that's the one we want to grow when I make the screen larger and smaller, because of something called my layout options. So here we see that this one has vertical options, end and expand. So the expand is the real powerful part here, because if I change that to start and expand, tip would be up here. But what expand says is after laying out the rest of the screen, there's any space left. So it actually does an initial layout pass without taking any expansion into account. But then it says, all right, how much screen real estate is left? If there's any left, the control that has the and expand property gets all of that space. Gets all of that space. And then that end part determines that it's at the bottom. So vertically, its vertical options are that it's at the bottom here.
Right, and we see similar things for horizontal as well, if we're going to do laying out from, you know, left to right or horizontally, really.
Exactly. So let's slide up a little bit, and we can see that my entry field, while we don't actually see this, it actually has its horizontal options are the reason that it's not filling up the entire screen here, because it's not set to fill up this entire stack layout area.
So the API is designed to give us a lot of control over how the children interact with the layout container and take up the space available.
Exactly. We have a lot of different ways we can control what's going on here so that things look great as we shrink and grow. And stack layout is just one of our options. And so what we will see, of course, is if I choose a different option, things will look a little bit different. And that's because I might actually want my app to look different. And so if I chose to have, for instance, some of this other stuff be aligned, I wanted my entry field and my tip output amount and my total output amount to all be aligned, I might choose a grid instead of several horizontal stack layouts as my children right here. So
Let's
see that option.
And what I love about this here is it's responsive design, but it's responsive design cross-platform. Of course, we're seeing this on UWP, but this does work, of course, on Android and iOS, and now our future Xamarin Forms platforms as well. And for you to make a cross-platform application and define the type of responsive UI would mean learning all of these UI technologies, all these UI APIs, where with Xamarin Forms, it's taken care of for you and with some simple properties, simple API surface.
Yeah, and there's a little to learn in terms of your stack option or your vertical options and your horizontal options. There is some to learn. However, you're learning it once and it's applying to everything.
Absolutely, versus having to say learn 3, 4, 5 platforms.
Exactly.
Now.
Learn layouts in Android and learn constraints in iOS and all the different platforms.
And funny, some of these simple things that work very well, and I think, you know, a lot of us are coming from the Windows world, we're like, oh yeah, I could do this in UWP. Some of the other platforms, this type of behavior can be challenging to implement.
Absolutely, and of course, we modeled this largely off of some of the UWP stuff, and so it does seem familiar to you, but some of you may not realize how difficult it can be in some of the platforms. But yes, this is actually a nice system, and so those of you who come from a XAML background are already pretty lucky. So we can see I have in here a grid that's going to do something very similar, and I'll once again give this a run, and we'll just take a look at how it's ever so slightly different.
Excellent. I do love the quick deployment of UWP. And again, if we could be running this on other platforms, but UWP gives the advantage of being able to rescale our window and really show off the responsiveness.
Exactly. Right here, just like the other desktop platforms like Linux and Mac, of course, when we're running desktop, we have a window, we can resize, we can show that it's completely responsive. Whereas if I ran it on a mobile, I'd just be this way or this, you know, just be landscape or portrait mode, which is not as exciting. So here I have a myriad of options. So I can move this around. And now we see that all of these buttons are actually changing size with the screen as well. So they're all adaptive. My enter amount actually is now adaptive with the screen. And it's aligned along with the outputs here.
Now, of course, though, if I wanted that entry control left aligned and not taking up the full width of its column, again, we use our layout options.
Right, absolutely no problem. We have things in our grid like call span. And we can tell this does have a bit of a grid layout to it. And in this case, it may be a bit obvious because we didn't use many columns or rows, but we have column span and row span, so we can make it pretty abstract. You can make it to the point where you're not really aware that you're seeing any kind of a checkerboard pattern or anything like that. The grid is really powerful that way, and yet still gives us all of this responsive help in order to see it look great on all of the different platforms and all of the different screen sizes and real estates available.
Fantastic.
All right, so I think we've got some other cool ways to handle responsive design.
Excellent. Let's head back to the slides. And so the next topic we're going to cover is orientation. And of course, this really just means the way the device is being positioned and typically refers to, you know, handheld devices. Although we have seen this type of behavior on desktop monitors.
Sure,
you
can't even have desktop monitors that sometimes people put in portrait mode. But you're right, a handheld device.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with these, we see a lot of runtime changes. And we'll see, you know, really a big change in vertical height or horizontal height available to the application. But at the same time, there are constrained quantities, or known quantities. We know it's either going to be in portrait or in landscape. Now again, Xamarin Forms, we saw, it handles the default behaviors pretty solid.
It is, and we see an example of something like that right on your screen.
Yeah, and something here where maybe I have a label up top, an image, and then a label with more content. And we go to landscape, well, we see it's pretty good, but we've actually lost a little bit of our text. You know, we're down to just three lines.
And yeah, so I think exactly.
And depending on the shape of the screen, we could be losing more content, or if the image has been scaling up even more, our text content might just flow off the bottom. Now, this might be great out of the box, but you might want to have more control over it. And for something like this, we might choose to reduce the size of the image, use a couple of columns, and you know, display more text on the right-hand side.
And there's still some white space on this screen, so it may not be obvious, but we actually did get back a lot of our text.
Yeah.
So you're actually seeing a lot more text on screen than you were in the other version of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this really comes down to the design decisions that you're going to make as an application developer and as a UI developer. And these are things that we can decide for our application, for our users, and for our specific, you know, purpose of the app. But we have control over this, and we can help dictate how Xamarin Forms responds to orientation change. And the great news is we're going to go back to that size change event notification. And we can very easily detect the orientation by subscribing to the size change event by checking those width and height properties. And you can see here, for example, we're just checking, you know, is it portrait? Is the height greater than the width? And then we're changing the content of an image based on the orientation.
And so this is a runtime check, and it's actually fairly simple here. He's saying, I've got two major choices, two major patterns that I want to use, so let me just see which one is appropriate. So it doesn't have to be all a lot of complex measurements or anything like that. Very simple. If we have more width than we do height, do X. If it's the other way around, do Y.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just about changing content. We can actually interact with our layout controls as well. With our layout panels, we can dictate how Xamarin Forms is going to lay things out based on runtime decisions.
And so excellent.
Let's jump over to demo and have a look at this. So I'm going to run, it's a fairly simple application, and let me show you the UI first, then we'll fire it up on Android. And so here we see Now, we have a stack layout with a number of controls. And actually, this is similar to something we saw in an earlier session. This is a text-to-speech application. Yes. We can put in a message and click a button and
then
have it speak. And it's a lot of fun. And again, it's a simple application, but it's a great way of demonstrating this. So
some simple properties that have a lot of power. Yeah.
So let's change it over to Android. Let's set this as our starter project. And we're going to run this. So I've just got to deploy the Android emulator, so it'll take a moment just to pop up. But currently we've got a stack layout, and although we haven't explicitly set it, the stack layout is going to, it's going to lay out our controls vertically, right? So our label is at the top, and followed by our entry, followed by our button, followed by our image.
Right.
So that sounds great, and it sounds great for, well, a portrait orientation.
Yeah, it's a decent default.
Yeah.
But maybe we can do better if we're in landscape mode.
And of course, in Xamarin Forms, we can do things like constrain orientation. So we have the ability to use the features exposed by the vendor. So it is possible to lock to an orientation, but that's not typically what users expect. And so that may be appropriate for some applications.
Yeah, if I turn my phone to the side, I expect it to do something, to adapt in some way.
Yeah, we simply make a little frowny face when we don't see it.
Exactly.
Why isn't this rotating?
So, this app.
And so here we go, pretty great, pretty basic UI. And if I rotate to landscape, it constrains okay. We see our image is getting bumped off a little bit, and it feels like we've got a lot of white space around the image.
We should show them what it does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll show this off as well. So bear with me as I can touch the screen. Let's do it that way.
There you go.
Jason was waiting for you to figure that out.
I wish I was that smart.
So apparently we can't hear this, but you should be able to hear this. So, and Android loves responsive UI.
And that's the goal.
Okay, so again, we see some responsiveness here. Oh, did it not fire?
I don't think you actually hit speak. You just hit done on the keyboard.
Excellent. All right. So we see again what Jason showed earlier. Our label, our entry, our button—they're scaling to the width, which is nice. Although we don't necessarily need a full size button across our screen. And so we can take a little bit of control here.
And not having any of the icon, or the icon does no longer look like a person speaking. It now looks like some abstract art.
We're losing a little bit of UI. And so I'm just going to show you something we can do that's a fairly straightforward technique. I'm just going to add a second stack layout. And I'm just going to encapsulate everything except the image in this second stack layout. And then I'm just going to move the spacing. I'm going to add it here to the second stack layout. And then what I want to do is give a name to our first stack layout, and this is going to allow me to
refer to it in code.
Yeah, exactly. I can access from the code behind. So let's give it a name.
By giving it a name, it's basically generating a variable for him of that same name, which means now he can access that object instance. The XAML is creating an object instance of stack layout, and it's giving it the name, the variable name, main stack there.
Perfect.
Great.
So now I can reach it in code behind. That's exactly. And let's jump into our code behind in our shared code, right? This is our Xamarin Forms code.
So what you're doing, everything you're doing here, is applicable to both Android, iOS, and really even UWP and Mac, etc. Everything you're doing is going to work everywhere. This responsive code
is not 100%
specific. Right.
So I'm over into my code behind, and then find our size change event. There it is. Let's just create a method.
Adrian hates underscores.
I prefer no underscores.
Underscoreless code.
So now I'm going to use exactly what we saw on the slide. I'm going to use that width and height property. So I'm going to go if the width is greater than this dot height.
Right.
Okay, well, now we're in. That means our width is greater. We're in a landscape orientation.
Right, we got to do something different. So we're just going to make everything smaller?
So let's change a property on our stack layout. Now, our stack layout, I didn't have this explicitly. Let's put it in. The orientation is horizontal, vertical.
I was going to say, hold on.
You're like, hold on.
If you didn't have it explicitly, then it's vertical,
It's vertical by default. I was jumping ahead. And so that means it goes, again, top to bottom.
Right.
So let's switch the orientation if we're in landscape.
Excellent.
And stack orientation dot horizontal.
Ooh, tricky. You sneaky, sneaky man.
And back to vertical, of course, if we're not.
Excellent.
And just simple as that. Now, this is a technique. This is not the only technique. But what's powerful here is that we can, again, we're making runtime changes. And this is a decision that I've made for my UI. Let's kind of straighten up our emulator here. I think it might be upside down.
I got it upside down.
All right.
So that actually is the landscape presentation.
Yeah, barely. Sometimes something is behind. So let's go to our portrait. There we go. And I'm going to rotate to landscape. And we see here, we've now changed our orientation.
It's actually so elegant, you almost don't notice that he kind of changed how it's laid out, because all of the controls are now still exactly where I expect them to be. I expected the entry field and the button to contain that area of real estate and be about that width, because that's what they were in vertical. And I expect then the other boring part of my screen to be filled with that icon. And when he flipped, go ahead and flip us again. It just
absolutely.
It's not necessarily even immediately noticeable that something about it is changing. Obviously, it has. Obviously, it's there when you know to look. But it doesn't necessarily immediately jump out at you. Oh, he relayed it out. It's like, no, it just, oh, it looks good. Oh, it works.
Well, and I think part of this here is that we've encapsulated a chunk of our UI. So we've encapsulated our label and our entry and our button in a stack layout. And so their orientation to each other hasn't changed, right? Those three still stay in their individual stack, and then we move, you know, in this case, we're moving the image around.
Right.
So it's a bit of an encapsulation in using these sort of chunks of UI.
And I think that concept might come in appropriate or come in handy again a little later.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we've done it in a simple way, but there's other ways of encapsulating UI in Xamarin Forms to really take this further.
Excellent. Maybe we should talk about that.
I think we absolutely should. Wonderful. Let's head back to our slides. I can tell we have a lot of fun with this. And this is something that I find it comes up a lot. You know, as part of XAMU, we interact with a lot of Xamarin developers. And we know that responsive UI is a challenge. And not as much that people don't know how to do it, but they don't know
best practices.
They don't know the practices. You know, what techniques should you use? Okay, we have a lot of options. That's very typical in programming.
And one of the reasons people choose Xamarin and Xamarin Forms is because they want to run on a lot of devices. That's the whole reason that they said, you know what, this is the best platform for us. So it's one of the first questions they ask is, hey, how can I efficiently make it look good on all of these devices that I want it to run on?
Yeah. And absolutely. And so actually, that's a perfect segue, because we're going to show a couple other techniques here, and it's their ways of being efficient. Because what we just saw was really powerful, but we probably don't want to make a lot of property changes. We don't want to
do relayouts. Yeah. That can, of course, be expensive.
Say we had, you know, 20 or 30 controls. What when we say moving things around in a grid constantly, it could be expensive, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. It's their layout passes, and could be performance hit if we're doing a lot of real heavy lifting. So let's see. So let's talk about another technique and some other problems we might want to solve.
Yeah, in particular, we're now going to look at how things change just from device to device, and especially, we talked earlier about how when we go from different devices, we're not just any longer worried about the look. We now have other challenges as well. We have mouse, we have other input types. Maybe we do have a keyboard, or maybe we don't, as we saw with your emulator. We need to determine that. We need to make things friendly for what peripherals might exist, what screen real estate exists, what pointer devices are available, all that stuff.
And I think Even beyond that is even thinking about the platform they're running on. You know, what are users expecting for that platform? But all of those things, 100% absolutely true. And so we have a simple example here where we've got something running on a desktop and it looks like some sort of editor application. And, you know, we've all seen things like this before. And we might imagine for on a desktop, well, hey, we're going to sit down. We've exactly said we've got our mouse and our keyboard. You know, we might do a lot of editing on this, you know, in that situation. We've got a mouse. We've got fine-tuned control. We can hit very small button targets, you know, click targets. Whereas if I'm on a mobile device, hey, I probably got it in one hand. I want to use my finger. I might want a simplified UI.
Might even just not want to use your finger from your other hand. Might even just want to use that one hand that's holding it and use that thumb to just accomplish the entire goal.
Absolutely. And sometimes that means a reduced UI. We might have a reduced feature set, depending on the idiom. Or we might just have a different UI layout, a different set of controls that makes sense for that platform. And so Xamarin Forms fortunately has this concept of idiom. And that allows us to make runtime checks to see what idiom, what type of device we're running on. And let's look at some code, and we'll talk a little more about that. So we see here we have a static device class. And on the device class, we have enumeration, a type property, an idiom. And in Xamarin Forms, we have three idioms defined. We have desktop, we've got tablet, and we've got phone. And so with this property, we can check at runtime, and we can make runtime UI decisions based on the idiom. And what's powerful here is we're not saying, am I on Windows? Am I on iOS? No, we're going, what type of device?
And we're also not even necessarily just looking at screen size. The implications are here that if you have desktop, I assume you also have a more accurate pointer than just your finger. So I can, you know, use smaller touch areas or smaller click areas, things like that. So we can make a little bit more educated guesses about what setup you have, because it's not just about screen real estate here.
Absolutely. And so we see in our code, well, we're gonna present different UI based on the idiom, and say we're within a page, and we're assigning the content property, and we're gonna present a different view. We've got a desktop view and then a default view, for example. That's probably our mobile friendly view for phone and tablet.
Right.
So this looks great, and in this case, we're probably changing the entire UI for our page.
We don't want to go through and change bit by bit by bit, variable by variable, and keep re-rendering the call stack, though.
Right, exactly.
Re-rendering the view stack.
Right, we're not changing 4, 5, 10 different controls. We want to do this as a chunk.
Right.
And we have this concept on other platforms, and we have this concept here in Xamarin Forms, with the concept of a composite control.
So in other words, I can define some abstraction that says, this whole thing, this thing that contains 5 buttons, that contains an entry field, that's all organized by a grid, all of this can be packaged up as a reusable and assignable bit.
Absolutely. And you can imagine here that we might design a different one for mobile versus desktop and then assign the appropriate one again based on the idiom.
Perfect.
And you know, if you're a Windows developer, you've seen this concept before, and really powerful, really excited we have it in Xamarin Forms. And in Xamarin Forms, we use what we call a content view. And so this is, it's like a user control, and it allows us to, but it's a composite control, and we can embed other controls within it and encapsulate a bigger chunk of UI, just like we saw on the previous slide. And this is a great example here. We've got a content view, we've got a stack layout, so we put a layout within our content view.
And so the content view here is my root node. And so I'm talking about creating a content view, not something inside of a content page, like maybe I'm used to doing. My content view is my root node, my base class for this file, this XAML file.
Absolutely, and I think of these as, you know, as partial pages. You know, it's so,
perfect.
And we're defining this here, but we're not necessarily, you know, we'll have to still take another step to put it in our UI somewhere. But we're defining a chunk of UI that wraps, you know, other smaller pieces, other elements, and it's very powerful because we can reuse it in multiple places. So if we have some similar UI that works on multiple pages, we could use the same content view. And again, as we saw, runtime decisions. We can swap in content views based on the device behavior or the device idiom.
Great. And so these controls here, these buttons and entry fields and stuff, they may interact with each other. They may have behaviors. Can we handle that the same way that we handle it with a page XAML?
Absolutely. So, of course, we know with our content pages, we have our XAML and then we have our code behind.
Code behind, right.
So the exact same thing with our content view, we also have code behind. And so, again, you see it's a partial class. It feels very much like a content page.
And so it's a partial, but now it's deriving from content view.
Yeah.
Instead of from content page. And so it once again uses the XAML and all the code that you put here, and it's going to create one consolidated class that presumably you're going to use inside a page somewhere.
Absolutely, exactly. We'll ultimately eventually display it in a page, but this is really powerful. Again, it's a great way of architecting your application. It's a great way of segmenting UI, and it's a great way of using partial UI.
Amazing.
And so let's look at an example of this.
Please show me.
Excellent. And just I see a question here. So for a game, you plan to lock the orientation to landscape, and then display a message the user only does rotate the portrait. The application only runs in landscape. So I think to lock the orientation, that will be per platform, I believe.
Yeah, you're definitely talking about some difficulty, because if you lock it to landscape, and that is per platform, if you lock it to landscape, you're also going to lose out on the notifications that it rotated using the high-level UI interfaces, the high-level UI APIs. So you're definitely talking about hitting some low-level stuff. Then if you're writing a game, you might be doing that anyway, writing very low-level UI. In which case, you're ignoring a lot of the layout stuff and whatnot that we're talking about today. But that's all going to be platform specific anyway. So that wouldn't really be a Xamarin Forms discussion. To get deeper on this, I think we'd have to take it offline. You know, feel free to look us up at university.xamarin.com. That's where we're reachable. And we could definitely go deeper on that.
Yeah, my gut on this, though, I think, is you probably lock it per platform. And then, as Athlete said, we wouldn't get notified. But I will say this is actually a good case where, game development, users are often very happy to have the device locked to a certain orientation. Now, productivity applications, we like to turn it. Games, we understand. A driving game, for example,
we probably want excited. The wider. You might get excited and actually move your phone around. Yeah. I don't want you to change the view on my screen just because I started doing this in the driving game. So, that's a great point.
Yeah, but I think it's totally valid to lock it in for games, absolutely. Again, this goes back to us making the right decisions for our application.
Exactly.
So let's see an application here. Should we start on UWP or Android? Let's see UWP first. So let me just get this deployed. And so this is a drawing application. I think we saw this in another session. But this is a cross-platform drawing application, and it's built in with Xamarin Forms. And it's a multi-touch drawing app, and we can, of course, use the mouse, use our fingers, draw on the screen. And,
I love this app.
And unleash our artistic potential.
Let's see your artistic potential.
Yes. and so here we're running on a laptop.
Right.
And so presumably we're going to have a keyboard and mouse. And so we've noticed we've got some smaller controls here than we use with the mouse.
And these would be awfully hard to hit if he was trying to hit just the right one with his finger.
Yeah, I mean, they're at a place we've got a touchscreen, so we're into mixing metaphors here. But again, it's a bit easier here to control these with a mouse. And presumably, for this type of content creation application running on a laptop or a desktop, we're probably going to have a mouse. But again, this leads into some interesting questions.
You can still do your drawing with your finger.
You can draw with your finger. And again, the Surface has a pen. A pen is like a stylus, another extension of having very fine-grained control.
Exactly. And that's going to be the desktop idiom. Even though it's a laptop, it would be the desktop idiom.
Absolutely. So
it's a Xamagon. That's the Xamarin little Xamarin logo there.
And about the extent of my artistic abilities here. but notice here, their application, as we expect with Xamarin Forms, got a lot of responsive UI out of the box here, and pretty great.
Yeah, looks good.
And it's working very nicely, and we see our boxes get a bit smaller as we bring the window a bit smaller. Now, however, running this with this style of UI on a phone might be less ideal. We're getting very small touch targets. And again, we think about scaling this down onto, a 3.5-inch, 4-inch display. These buttons are getting pretty small. They're going to be hard to hit. You're probably going to frustrate your users. And also, you're probably going to violate the design guidelines put out by the platform vendors.
Right.
I know both Android and iOS and Windows as well. All the vendors create guidelines and how we should create touch UI.
Yes,
and a lot of this leaving space around it.
It reflects upon those vendors, right? It does reflect upon Apple and Microsoft when apps that run on their platform don't look great. So they put out guidelines. And in some cases, they're pretty darn opinionated on whether your app is allowed to get through if you don't follow those guidelines, because it reflects on them. They want every experience on their platforms to be, exceptional experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely remember times where there's been UI guidelines. If you violate them too far out, they wouldn't allow your app even on the App Store. So.
Exactly.
All right, so here we see the application running on a phone.
Same app.
In the very same app, but notice we've changed the UI. We've simplified our color selection. And again, this is a decision that we made as the developers. And you might choose to do a different type of control or maybe have another interaction paradigm to get to the other colors. But we thought, hey, this is a phone. It's probably going to use one hand. Simplified UI style.
Easy
to touch.
Big
touch targets. But I've got similar functionality. Still my drawing app, still my content creation, still in Xamarin Forms. But we've made a runtime decision based on the idiom. We're running on a phone here. So how do we do that? Well, as you probably guessed, we've used content views for this. So I'm going to do my shared code. I'm going to open up views. And let's start with the color picker touch view. So our control is called a color picker. And you see we have some XAML. In this case, we've got a stack layout. And then in our code behind, we've got a little bit of logic, and this is just populating the stack layout with those are the color boxes, the color selector controls. That's actually a little separate view. And I'll show this quickly as well. So our color
why
selector
not?
View. Why not? just quickly here, it's just... It's actually driving from a box view, and we're just attaching a tap gesture recognizer on it. So we're making a little colored button, and then we're using this to populate our stack layout on our touch UI. Now, we do something similar for desktop. We have one that's called Color Picker Mouse View, and notice we're using a different control. So we're using a grid to lay out our controls this time instead of our stack layout. And then again, we'll see some logic in here. And again, I mean, this really just comes down to plain old C#. I'm moving quickly on this because we're just instantiating controls. We're adding it to the grid as children. And it's just C#. It's .NET. There's nothing complicated
right.
here about how I'm populating
it. I noticed they do. We do have a base class on.
So
that?
Absolutely. So of course we've got two different content views
doing
that are
largely the same thing.
They're very similar. And so and for this one, we decided to use a color picker base class. Now notice this class here derives from content view, and then we can put all of our common logic. So things like, you know, presenting our color changed event. You know, responding to the button taps, you know, getting the color buttons. We're doing some programmatic control generation, so we're generating those colored buttons at runtime. So put that logic in here. So
right,
again,
perfect.
So sharing that code across these, and then all we need to do is in our content views, and so instead of driving from content view, we derive from our base class, from color picker. Excellent. Which is now deriving from content view. So
which means we can have XAML and all that good stuff still applies.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to apply this at runtime, I'm going to head on over to my main page. And so this is a single screen application. And this is a Xamarin Forms page. And if you look in our constructor, we've got a add color picker method. And in add color picker, notice here is our device idiom. And we're checking the target idiom. This is enumeration and this will type desktop.
Outstanding.
And I'll just show you quickly here so I can show you the other options. There is desktop, phone, and tablet currently. And so when it's on desktop, we're instantiating the color picker mouse view. Again, that's our desktop UI.
Mousey
for our
one, right?
Our mousey one, exactly.
Excellent.
Otherwise, we're doing our kind of our mobile-friendly, our color picker touch view, right? Again, just nodding
less
to
less options, but big and easily touchable.
Exactly. And again, these are design decisions that we made. You could make other decisions, but this is how you're able to make the runtime changes, how to update your UI.
Perfect.
And again, we have the benefit here with that base class. We have a field of type color picker, and then we just assign that. And we instantiate it.
So that our event can be handled commonly, and some of the other properties can be handled commonly. Great.
Exactly. It helps commonize the code, but of course, there's no reason why you couldn't just instantiate a color picker view, mouse view, and then do the additional logic of, say, adding it to your grid there as well.
Great.
So again, the abstraction helps flip the code, helps reduce code duplication. But again, this is just getting to C#. This
awesome.
Is, this
right,
is stuff
exactly.
that we do as developers all the time.
Just plain old C#.
Plain old C#. How many have time here? Should we wrap things up or do you want to do one more demo?
Oh boy. Can you make it a fast one? We are pretty low on time.
Yeah, I'll make it quick.
All right.
I won't run
Sounds
it on the
good.
Platform. So what I want to show you, so we have, of course, again, we're showing you tools to add to your toolbox. And I've got another application here, and this does something similar, but instead of using content views, we're actually changing the page class. And so we're creating, you know, if we have substantial UI changes, maybe it's not worth encapsulating those content views. We'll go, hey, you know what, make a brand new page.
It's an entirely different page. It doesn't, because it doesn't really share anything in common. So what would be the point of just using some abstraction?
Exactly. And so I'll show you here as well. So I'm jumping right into it. This is actually using a master detail page. And you can see here that that's not the one I want. Let's go.
So that drawer kind of user
experience. I'm in the wrong project. Here we go. I'm like, this doesn't look quite right.
And so we're talking about that drawer kind of user experience when you say master detail.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, let me jump into that. I want. So you told me to be quick, and now you put the pressure
right,
on me.
Right, I did. I put
and now
pressure
I'm slowing
on me and
down,
see what happened.
So,
but what I imagine is that while we go through that master detail, that drawer, when we're opening a drawer, when we're selecting an item in that drawer, it might be a different item.
Yes.
Depending on what platform we're running on. It says the same item. It's under the same option, same listing in the list view. But we're going to see something different based on some different page based on whether we're running in mobile or running on desktop.
Absolutely. So let me just get this up here. So I'm going to my shared code. This is where our Xamarin Forms UI definition is. And my page is here. I won't go through all the details of master detail. But again, as Zethly said, when we make a selection, we load our detail page. We'll jump to our code behind here. Actually, it's in the master detail. There it is. So when we select one of our child, when our items are master detail, we get a notification from the list view. And this is where our job is to present the detail UI. And so here, again, it's the exact same idea. I'm going to check the device idiom, but then I'm going to actually present, I'm going to navigate to a different page. And what's interesting about this is not that we're using pages instead of content views, but there's other ways of making sure we're not duplicating too much code. Now, this project is using an MVVM pattern for most of its pages. And what's powerful here is that I've got two different pages, two different UIs, and again, I think for the sake of time, I won't go through all the UI, but
right,
again...
Right, but we're abstracting away that. We're saying they both represent the same concept in this application, so they can live under that same menu item, and we'll just show the one that's appropriate for
the device,
your idiom.
But again, they're powered by the exact same view model. And so we're sharing all that code. And this is exactly why MVVM is amazing, because we define our UI and we define our view model, and we can make UI changes and still consume the same view model. So again, we're just reducing code duplication. I think we'll jump back to slides because of time.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to quickly answer Jeff's question. So Jeff wants to know if the idea of the content view that we're talking about maybe conflicts with this new concept we talked about in our last .NET Conf session, where we can address fragments when running in Android. And the answer is absolutely not. Fragments is just a way for us to leverage Android platform-specific code. That was leveraging platform-specific code when on Android. But this, what we looked at today, content views and encapsulating things that way, that runs on any platform. Everything he just showed will run perfectly on Android or on iOS or on Mac or on Linux, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So I see you have our bye-bye slide. So,
absolutely, yeah. So to the end here, so it's again, source code. There's lots of it, especially if you want to dissect that last presentation. It's all there, as well as all the other projects we looked at today.
Yeah, and if you want to know lots and lots more about all sorts of mobile development topics, of course, the place to go, university.xamarin.com. You can reach us there. We are always super happy to have conversations about all sorts of mobile stuff.
Well, absolutely, and especially the presentation, the demo you did earlier, talking about the layout options. We've got a really fantastic class really dedicated to that concept and really learning the ins and outs if you want to master those topics.
I spent 5 minutes. The class is 2 hours. Yeah. So we have a lot of material. We go through it live. You get to ask questions because we're in that same meeting together. You guys get to talk to me. So we get to really figure it out and dig in together. And that just like every other class that we do. Plus all of the free content that we have, the self-guided learning that we have. So please check out university.xamarin.com. And also check out the rest of our .NET Conf sessions today. We'll be back soon to talk to you guys more.
Thank you very much.
Bye for now.